What do you talk about? What do you share? I contemplated that. And I came up with this. I can't take any credit for it because I borrowed it. How to stay young and useful in all your life. How about that? How to stay young and useful all of your life. Thought that might be pretty good for the new year. Well, let's read it from the section of the Bible that I got it from. Psalms 92. You can stand. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It only goes 15 verses, and it's the last four verses that I'll use for my text. But everything above it's real good. It's all good. And we might as well just read that. I'll read it slowly, and you can follow it. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works! Thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes shall see my desire, mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire, the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit. There's the key verse. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this. Thank you for loving us so much. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us all. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive our nation. Lord, we have sinned, and we've done lots of injustice to you. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us. We need your forgiveness, Lord. We need your healing. But we need to seek you and love you with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. We need to do that. We need to try to live for you. And so, Lord, I ask you to forgive us. And Lord, I pray that you'll prepare our hearts to receive this thy precious word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before you're seated, shake hands or butt elbows, whatever you like to do. So there'll be still some remnants of Christmas past. It seems like always when you think you've put away the Christmas decorations for another year, you find something that gets left behind. And you're like, oh, I forgot that. People are returning things that don't fit. And how quickly we go from one year to the next. How quick. I didn't see the ball drop. I was too sleepy. Used to be a big deal to me. You know, as you get older, what's a big deal? Seeing a big ball drop or a Hershey Kiss drop or a brick or a tomato or a pomegranate or, you know, a grapefruit, whatever. It every year we'll add something new to drop. So it's another year. So what? Well, things in the scripture are very helpful. Aging, and this, by the way, is for everybody, all the young people as well, is something we can't avoid. But it doesn't have to make us unfruitful or useless. We can be quite fruitful and we can be quite useful as old as God allows you to live. It is amazing. What's the oldest person in your family? Anybody want to volunteer? How was the oldest person in your family? Just 92? There you go. Anyone else? You know I might top that. My grandpa lived to be 106. A few things that I've watched grandpa to learn is he didn't worry about anything. He just didn't worry about nothing. He had no worries about anything. He was very active. I know when he'd sit for a while, he'd say, "Now you can't sit long." He said, "You got to keep moving. You have to keep moving." I've heard the slogan, "If you don't use it, you lose it." Ever hear that? So I did learn that Grandpa kept active. He kept moving. He had a little shop in the barn, and he'd tinker. And if you'd ever seen any of his stuff he made, just laugh. It's okay. You wouldn't be able to set a full cup of water on it because it'd probably spill. But it was okay. He enjoyed himself. He kept active. He just rigged stuff up like you wouldn't believe. And when he'd turn it on, it would. It's no wonder that when it cut, it did the same thing. So, you know, it's something I grew up, I remember seeing. I know he came in one day and he blood was dripping off his fingers and he went over to the sink. Mother was hollering at him. "What do you do?" "Oh," he said, "I got against a little bit up there." And then mother started talking to him. He said, "Don't worry about it." He says, "It's far from the heart." Ah, man. He just didn't worry about a lot of stuff. I believe that's a real big key right there. But I'll tell you, I'm going to give you some more keys. The secret to living a productive life isn't found in a pill or a drink or an exercise routine. And boy, get ready. The commercials are coming. They're coming. TV will be full of commercials for exercise equipment, new diet plans, and you name it, and they got her. And man, it'll do everything it. Keep your hair the same color it was when you were 16, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, I believe what's more important is heeding what our Lord says. None of us know how long that we're going to live. And while we all can breathe and are breathing today, we should all desire to be useful and fruitful for our Lord. Because he is the one who ultimately determines the number of our days. But we have that responsibility of doing what we can to live long and productive. There are things we can do. I don't have this scripture written down, but I remember that we know ye not that your body is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And our body, we should sacrifice to the Lord, to live for him, to give it to him. He's the one that gave it to us to begin with. But our body is a living tabernacle. And you should do everything you can to try to live as long as you can. And this is what the psalmist talked about. The righteous man flourishes like the palm tree. Now, there's a stipulation. It said, the righteous man. This passage doesn't apply to everyone, but only to those who are righteous and godly. And to flourish means abundance of growth or fruit. And the palm tree that's stated in this particular passage is a date palm. Not only does this tree produce fruit, but its leaves are used for fences and for roofs. We're seeing those thatched roofs. That's what these leaves were for. You know, back then they used materials we didn't have, there wasn't available then. It was there, but they didn't know how to to cut the trees up and make boards out of them, huh? Isn't it amazing what we have today? So they used what they could. They used the leaves for fences and roofs. Then in verse 12, we will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. These trees grow as high as 120 feet. Their branches extend straight out to a circumference of 30 feet. So it truly does symbolize great strength. And then will be planted in the house of the Lord, and they will flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 13. Planted in the house of the Lord. That's a good place to grow, isn't it? Should always grow in the presence of God. I told you that this past Christmas, it wasn't the presents that are wrapped and put under the tree. It's God's presence. Emmanuel, God with us. It's his presence that makes the difference. Spiritual abundance comes to those who stay close to the Lord. And then verse 14 and 15, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. So we don't have to be dry and of little use. The righteous can continue to produce fruit throughout your lifetime. You can be productive. You may not be able to do a lot of things you used to do, but you have the wisdom of how to do it, and you can show or share it with somebody else on how to do it. Probably the hardest, the worst time will be when, Elroy, you can't pound a hammer anymore. You know, that'll be a sad day for you. But you have all that wisdom through all these years and experience that you can show or share it with someone else. It'll be hard to watch them do it, but you're still useful. You'll still be able to help somebody. I'm going to give you 10 essential attitudes that you must have in order to stay young and useful and fruitful. It's going to be easy. It's all a K and an L. The first one is keep learning. You need to keep learning. I knew a couple, and they're with the Lord now. They're just a sweet couple. He just did word puzzles every day. At the time, I was painting their home, and he was down in the basement, and he was doing his puzzles, word puzzles. I said, Elmer, do you do that every day? He said, yeah. I said, it keeps you sharp. Does it every day. He did it every day. He was retired, and he did it every day. Just like doing word puzzles. Some people like putting puzzles together. Wow. When I see all those crazy little pieces, I just shake my head. Oh, man. They all look the same. I remember putting puzzles together, but they were the puzzles I put together were this big, you know, and the puzzles, the pieces were that big, you know. It didn't take long to put them babies together. You could see where they went together. But those little tiny things, oh, brother. Hey, what I'm saying is if it keeps you sharp, do it. Do it. Keep learning. Keep learning. When we cease to learn, we stop growing because a lazy brain is an aging brain. There's a lot has changed through the years. Look at all the technology we have today. Wow. You all know how to run a computer or a laptop? How many of you know how to run a laptop? Huh? Good. You know what's really fun and interesting is to see somebody old run a laptop. Nothing wrong with that. My hat's off to you. If you're willing to want to do that good for you. Good for you. That's wonderful. Don't ever give up. That's when things go the other way, when you decide to give up. Don't give up. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean it's time to give up. We're using things today that my parents and grandparents would know nothing about. I remember when I had a cassette and I put it into play, and this music came across the cassette, and my grandpa said, how did he put all that on that little machine? How did he get all that in that little machine? He called the TV a box. He said, they got all kinds of stuff come. I told him about when man landed on the moon, and grandpa said, they didn't land on the moon. I said, yes, grandpa, it was on TV. He said, you mean that box? He said, put anything in that box. They can put anything in that box, he said. Whatever they want to put on there, he said, you know. He said, did you see them? No, I didn't. Well, he said, then how do you know they were there? It is pretty hard to talk to somebody like that. I had just given up, you know, because it was just too old. He was so old, he just couldn't receive it. He just couldn't receive it. It was hard for him to receive that. And I realized there were just some things that was difficult for him to understand. Wow. He did see a lot. It was interesting. Wow. And then we have keep loving. Keep loving. That's the first commandment, is to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and our mind. Deuteronomy 6:5. And then Jesus taught and he modeled love for us, that we are to love one another as well. When we stop loving God and other people, bitterness, resentment, and hostility and hatred take their places and take up residence within us, and they damage our emotions, our mental, and our spiritual health. God created us to love him and to love others. And so we need to maintain a loving spirit, because a loving spirit promotes good health within us. Doctors will tell you bitterness does no good for your body. You'll lose a lot of good health if you entertain bitterness and hatred. It's very deterrent to your body. Maybe you've had some past experiences that you're having trouble forgetting. I'm going to get to that. My next one is keep laughing. Keep laughing. Laughter maketh good like medicine. When you laugh, it affects every part of your body. Includes your nervous system. And it will set us free from discontentment and grumbling. Ever been around somebody that all they do is complain and grumble? You like being around them? I don't. I want to get away from them as far as I can. I don't enjoy being in their company. Just because they're negative, don't say I want to be negative. Don't pull me down to the same pit you're in. I get away from people like that. I like people that are upbeat and happy. And I like have friends that are the same always. No matter how long you've known them, for years, they're still good friends. It don't matter what kind of a day they're going through, they're still good friends. Keep laughing. I've always told you, Christians should be the happiest people in the world. You can't make a mistake that God can't fix and make good come out of it. That's what I told you. You should be the happiest people on the face of this earth, because you can't make a mistake God can't fix. Isn't that nice to know? And have you made some mistakes? Oh, you betcha. And you'll make some more. And you're not alone, because I make them too. God still loves me and puts up with me. Keep laughing. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is your strength. You want to be strong? Keep a good attitude. These are attitudes. Do you know that your attitudes depend on your altitude? Your altitude, I'll reverse that, depends on your attitude. Your altitude depends on your attitude. And then, I want to get to the part where I said about the past. There's some things that's happened in past year that you need to forget. You need to try to forget it. And I can tell you that forgetting some things is pretty hard to do. I understood the part now in the scripture that David said, my sin is ever before me. And I thought, well, God, you forgive sin. Why did David say something like that? Well, now I understand why he said that. His sin was ever before him because he had the memory of it. He remembered. He took a man's wife, Bathsheba. He didn't deserve to have her. Uriah, that was Uriah's wife. The prophet Nathan said, you had all the women you needed to have. Why did you take a man's wife? That's what Nathan told him. Why did you do that? And so sin would be in a part of his house. His own family would rise up against him because of the things he did. His own son Absalom would rise up against him. Why? Because he made some mistakes. Now, God forgave him. But like the story I heard, every time you make bad mistakes and you sin, there's a nail pounded in the door. And when you get to know Jesus and he forgives you, you can pull all those nails out of that door. But what's left behind? Anyone? The holes from the nail. God does nothing about that. The soul that sinneth shall die. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. There are certain laws that God has put in force, and they will continue to do so for as long as he wishes. And those holes in the door, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. All the bad decisions you make, just remember, whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. But God's grace is sufficient. He will help you through it. But you're the one that put the nails in the doors. Don't you forget that. You're the one that did that. God forgives you. Keep believing. What do you mean, Pastor? We must leave yesterday's cares and problems behind. Some of you have had some bad experiences in your life. I'm asking you to try to get past it. You'll always remember it, but ask God to help you to forget it. Don't drag them into the new year. Don't drag those problems into this new year. This new year's fresh and unattached. Don't drag them into this new year. Leave them behind. Put them in your past. Past experiences and situations have the potential to discourage and pull us backwards. We must learn to cast all of our cares upon him. Excuse me. Because he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Hanging on to past hurts, disappointments, and discouragements negatively affects our bodies, our minds, and our emotions. And sometimes we become anxious about the future as well. We must leave those concerns with Jesus and trust him to handle them. Do you have an anxious concern about the future? You thinking about what's going to lie in this year? The Bible is the best source you have, the most accurate source you have for tomorrow. No morning paper can print what the Bible has already printed. on its pages. It is the most accurate prediction of the future of any book ever printed. It's the most accurate. Don't be concerned about tomorrow. So far this year, it's not been going so good for Mike. Mike spun his pickup around this morning on the way to church and hit a tree. The Lord was with Mike. He took care of Mike. Mike loves the Lord, and the Lord loves Mike. I'm only using that example, Mike, so everybody else knows. We have no control. No control of our future. Only the Lord controls that. He controls our future. He knows what tomorrow holds for each and every one of you. And then keep longing. We must keep dreaming about the future. I have a saying when I do weddings that I pray that all of your dreams may come true. Your dreams, as you dream together as husband and wife, may they come true. All your dreams come true. I say good dreams. Sometimes you get bad dreams. You don't want them coming true. We never get too old to keep dreaming about the future, about things. You set goals. There's nothing wrong with setting goals. Set some goals. What do you want to do this new year? What's your goal? Well, one of my goals is we probably ought to clean that room out once. That room's been so full of junk for years, I think maybe what's the use? We've got kids, let them worry about it. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Naughty, naughty, naughty. I'm talking about setting goals. When are you going to clean that basement out? When are you going to clean that room out? I got things in my place that I look at and I think, these days I'll get around to it. Since I moved to my house on the hill, I have yet to clean my garage yet. My wife, where's she at? Amen. It's one of my goals, honey. This year. Now, y'all heard me. I made a commitment there. All right. Hey, if it's good for you, it's good for the preacher, isn't it? All right. When I'm pointing at you, I got these other fingers pointing back at me. All right. Where do we go from here? Instead of looking at all the things we can't do, we need to concentrate on what we can do. And look forward and set goals. As children of the Lord, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He empowers us to do whatever he desires. Sometimes we don't feel adequate, but we should never underestimate what the Lord can do through us when we are willing and we are obedient. He can accomplish much, but it starts with you. You've got to make a choice. We're going to do something this year. We're going to do something about that this year. Keep looking ahead. Keep looking ahead. You can make plans for tomorrow. We don't know how many active years are left in our life, but we certainly can make plans for tomorrow. And you know, the scripture says, as the Lord wills, we will do this. And go here and do this tomorrow. As the Lord wills, we'll do that. Older people, we used to always say, Lord willing, I'll see you next Sunday. Lord willing, I'll see you whenever. Pursue activities that you enjoy. It energizes us to continue to be useful and productive. Do you have talents or do you have things you like to do? You have hobbies? Some people don't have any hobbies. What's your hobby? spend more time and do it. Enjoy life. Here's one. Keep looking your best. Might be a challenge for some of us, but just keep looking your best. What made my wife feel so good after, excuse me, her time of falling was to go get her hair done. She loved to have her hair done. Made her feel good. This is what I'm talking about. Look good. Keep looking good. You'll feel good about yourself. Try to do your best. Try to do your best about that. There's something about looking and doing our best that stimulates us and encourages us to keep going. And then, excuse me, keep laboring. We're going to work till Jesus comes, work till Jesus comes, going to work till Jesus comes, and he will then take us home. Keep laboring. We may not be able to do what we once did. Retirement is not a time to just stop working. It's just to make a change. Do something different. It's not good to just sit still. I learned that from Grandpa. Don't just sit still. Do something. Do anything, but do something. Whatever you were doing when you were working, do something different. Time to make a change. Don't stop working. It's maybe a time to change what you do. Because don't tell your body they don't have to work anymore. That's probably not a good thing to do. Because it sends the wrong message that you don't have to work anymore. People that don't use their legs sometimes can't walk anymore. Are you listening to me? They have trouble walking because they don't walk. They sit too much. In the Christian life, there's no retirement. It's just refirement. You just refire. We can still make a difference in people's lives until the very day that God calls us home. Then I have another one for you. Keep leaning on the Lord. Keep leaning on the Lord. Each day that we live should be dependent on our Lord and our trust in him. He's the one that we need to rely upon for wisdom, for direction, protection, provision. All the things the Lord said that the Gentiles seek after. Seek the Lord first and his kingdom. All these things will be added on. But seek him first. And all the other things and concerns the Lord will take care of. We can trust him with all of our concerns because he's always present and he's always faithful. And then lastly, keep listening. Keep listening. The most important thing we can do is listen to the Lord. Though we cannot hear him audibly, but he speaks to each and every one of us, through our hearts, through his word, through his spirit. And he will answer us. But if we don't listen to him, we will become spiritually handicapped throughout our lives. We'll be unable to discern his will. If we heed his voice, he will help us to make wise decisions. He will guide us in the right relationships. He will empower us to avoid temptations, and he will convict us when we sin. And we do that which is not right. The Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. So which ones are you already practicing of these? And which ones do you need to start practicing? And if you're a young person here, and we have some young people here, I can tell you, it is a great advantage to put some of these attitudes already into work. Now is a good time to already put them to work. Because if they can benefit the older, they can certainly benefit you. So don't be afraid to put some of these ideas and attitudes to work. you will benefit. You'll be the one to benefit from them. And if you're older today, you might think it's too late for you to become productive again. But you have not evidently considered God's way of thinking. How about Sarah? Do I remind you of Sarah? A woman past childbearing age. And she was told she'd have a child. She laughed. And God said, why is it that I hear? You laugh? With God, all things are possible. All things are possible with him. Wow. What a description of a righteous person here in Psalms 92. Spiritual fruit is what the Lord would like to produce in you during your later years. You can always be useful. Now I'll ask our song group to come. While they're coming, do you have any prayer needs that you'd like to remember in prayer? Well, we can take those while they're coming.